Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Oncology. This podcast aims to bring you expert insights from a multidisciplinary team on novel immunotherapeutic approaches for non-driver mutation metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. Plus, hear from a patient advocate on the importance of shared decision-making and how to best support patients throughout their treatment journey. This activity is funded by an independent medical education grant from AstraZeneca and is jointly provided by USF Health and Touch IME. In this podcast, a medical oncologist and an oncology pharmacist are joined by a survivor of metastatic non-small cell lung cancer to discuss the importance of involving patients in their treatment decisions and the patient's perspective on emerging treatment options for non-driver mutation metastatic non-small cell lung cancer.
Hello, everybody. My name is Professor Raffaele Califano. I'm a medical oncologist at the Christie and Manchester University Hospital in Manchester, United Kingdom. I'm joined today by Professor Lisa Holly, who is an oncology pharmacist and professor of clinical pharmacology at the University of Connecticut and UConn Health in the United States. And I'm also joined by Mr. Josh Colo, who is an advocate for patients with advanced lung cancer who lives in Woodstock in New York. United States. In this section, we will consider how shared decision making and the patient's perspective is important in the management of metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. So nowadays, as an oncology team, I think it's very important to involve our patients in the decision making process when we are deciding on the best plan for this disease. I would like to ask Mr. Colo, what was your personal experience during your treatment planning with your oncologist, please?
Well, I started, after I was diagnosed, I started with my first oncologist. And I was treated with, at that point, for 8 weeks with chemotherapy. And I was very sick at the time. I had been sick for a while before my diagnosis and with high fevers, and my immune system was not really functioning all that well. And I got an infection from once I started getting the chemotherapy, I developed an infection, and I was in the hospital for 3 weeks trying to figure out what the infection was. In that time, my caregivers had done a lot of research into immunotherapy. And my first oncologist didn't have a good prognosis for me. And the prognosis was much better with immunotherapy. And so I switched oncologists and went to him knowing, having my caregivers tell me everything that they knew about immunotherapy. And the positive that it would be much more positive and that I could probably, it was pretty hard. Chemotherapy was very difficult for me. It was very hard. When I got to my second oncologist at that point, he said to me that I should use, because I had a high PD-L1 count, that he recommended I go on to immunotherapy treatment as a first line treatment. And I was all for it.
How did you find out about immunotherapy as a potential treatment option for you?
One of my caregivers, her occupation was a researcher her whole life, and she does that very well. So I was very sick at the time. I was still very unwell, and I had been started on chemotherapy, and that was really difficult for me. And she just continued to do research about immunotherapy, who the doctors are who were offering it, and what the treatment was and the potential for it to be better or have better results than chemotherapy. And so she passed on all the information to me. I didn't go reading about it all that much. I just trusted her implicitly. And once I found my oncologist, I trusted him also.
Thank you. So you obviously went to seek a second opinion, which then was able to offer you immunotherapy. Do you feel that at the point of discussion about switching strategy, were you given a good explanation about the potential benefits from one hand, but also the potential adverse events related to this new treatment?
He told me that he thought that it would be better that I would respond to it, and that there are side effects, and they don't know the side effects beforehand. I had looked them up myself. There seemed to be a long list, but I was sick, and they were telling me that they could possibly extend my life. So I just listened to my doctor. My oncologist was pretty straightforward with me that the possibility for side effects existed, but that when they did occur, there were ways to deal with them so that I shouldn't concern myself with them. He was trying to not add worry to an already extremely worrisome situation.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think it's also important from our end as an oncology team to make sure that we explain, you know, the potential adverse events, but we also explain that there is support there to make sure that our patients can cope, or, you know, there are ways to mitigate some of the adverse events. And I would like to ask Professor Hall, who is an oncology pharmacist, Lisa, what would you feel is the best way of supporting our patients through the treatment plans from an oncology pharmacist point of view?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So I think it's really important with immunotherapies to make sure that the patient has a good understanding of what the potential side effects are and how we treat them, because it's very important in the case specifically with immunotherapy that we identify side effects quickly so that we can promptly treat them. That will allow us to continue patients on immunotherapy and get the best efficacy for most of our patients. So I think that in most institutions, there is an effort to educate patients about the side effects to ensure that they know that they're receiving immunotherapy, and that if they were to go to another institution, for example, if they were admitted to an emergency room at another hospital, that they should convey that they are on immunotherapy so that team is aware of how they might treat any potential side effects. So I wonder, Josh, did you get any information from your healthcare team when you started immunotherapy, such as a wallet card or any handouts that describe the side effects and what you should do?
Yes, I did. I got that handout. I kept it in my wallet. I still do, though I don't need to, or maybe I do. And I was told that if I ever had to go to the emergency room, that I needed to tell them that's what I was doing, that I was on immunotherapy, so they could treat me accordingly.
Great. I mean, I think it's really important. I'm glad to hear that you did get that information, because that is very important for the care of our patients. And carrying that card still is also important, because there can be latent side effects or long-term side effects that can happen after a patient finishes immunotherapy that we have to be aware of. I think the other important key is sort of knowing who you can call in your healthcare team if something happens in terms of any sort of side effects. So we commonly talk to our patients about these are all the different potential side effects, but essentially any part of the body can be affected by immune-related adverse events. And so anything that's different, we ask our patients to call us or to message us through their electronic medical record if they use that technology, so that we can discern whether or not it's potentially related to immunotherapy.
We have to educate the patients on the potential adverse events to make sure that they will promptly seek advice. And I always say at the beginning, you're meant to phone us more frequently. There is a learning curve. We want to be bothered. And that's because, as you say, there will be some adverse events, which if left untreated may escalate very quickly, like the colitis, but also the rash or pneumonitis, a number of them. So we want to know. We do the same. We have a card that says I'm on immunotherapy, because nowadays immunotherapy is reasonably common across a number of disease groups. But when we started a number of years ago, if you went to ED and you had diarrhea, they would assume you were on chemotherapy. They would give you fluids, a bit of loperamide, and then perhaps they would have discharged you the following day if you were stable. Now, this is going to be a very dangerous approach if you're in immunotherapy. So education of the patients, but also education of the wider team, including the acute teams, is crucial. And I want the patient to say to the admitting doctor in accident emergency, look, this is not chemotherapy, this is immunotherapy. If you have any doubts, the oncology team is on hand. So, you know, is a very important team effort from the, you know, the caring team, the patients, but also patients will travel. They may end up in a distant hospital. It's very important that there is awareness about the adverse events. And I think, Josh, did you feel that you had a good safety net that allowed you to continue with your treatment in a safe and emotionally comfortable way?
I did. I chose not to. It was more comfortable for me not to go away, to leave the country, or even to travel a lot. And I had access all the time to the nurses. If I called the answering service, I would either get a call from a nurse or I think in the beginning, I even had the number of my oncologist, his personal number, because there was a lot of fear involved. I didn't really understand. I didn't understand a lot of things that were happening to me, certain fevers and things like that. So I would ask him questions. So I felt like I was completely safe. That's really the reality.
And I think that's very important when you're going through treatment. I think we've had a very nice discussion around the topic of the involvement of the patients in the decision-making process. What we have learned is that we as clinicians and oncology team have to educate about the potential adverse events. There needs to be ways of supporting the patients, either in an active way, but also via a literature or handout, so that if there is involvement of a wider team, patients are treated in the best possible way to mitigate these adverse events. I would like to thank Mr. Collo for the participation and Professor Holly. You can find out about more immunotherapy approaches for the treatment of metastatic or advanced non-small cell lung cancer without driver mutation in other short videos in this activity. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on non-small cell lung cancer on Touch Oncology at www.touchoncology.com. Don't forget, there are 3 other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.